Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Warriors. I'm Grant Liffman.
And I'm Drew Schiller.
And we're here to talk to you about the Warriors, I don't know, every single day. What do you think about that, Drew?
Yes, it is Sunday night, a little after 9:30 here in the Bay Area. And we're going to post this thing first thing on Monday morning. So, Grant, Sunday was an interesting day for Mr. Kevin Durant on Twitter.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
He certainly did not hold back. So he doesn't tweet very often. He used to be more active on Twitter a couple of years ago. And now that he is an NBA champion, an NBA Finals MVP, he apparently was on a flight today from one of, looking at his tweets and replies. He was on a flight and was bored and didn't have anything to do. And the Wi-Fi kicked in. And he started to interact with a lot of people. Certainly, you would say some of these people were trolls, people from Oklahoma City who were going at him. One in particular who he really had a good time with, I believe the Twitter handle was Westbrook MVP.
Yes.
So I think that probably is why he decided to engage so much with that individual.
Yeah, no, it was hilarious. And I have to think that Draymond Green was involved somehow.
Yeah, I tweeted out, what are the odds that Draymond Green is live tweeting from Kevin Durant's account?
Yeah, exactly. I almost thought about just trolling just to have him respond to me. No, but I think
no,
it's hilarious.
I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you
didn't. I love when people actually get response. I love when athletes actually go back at their trolls because people say some really mean things.
It's
I remember
nasty.
Our close friend, Landry Fields, former NBA player and now Spurs scout, he said that people on social media used to really go after him.
Like, people are ugly. Really people are ways. Nasty.
Yeah, so I love it. I love it. Bring up the heat.
Yeah, you meant to say turn up the heat.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you messed that up. Yeah, I think that's our first. I think that's our first movie reference. This is what, our third podcast together.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say that was our first mistake. Oops.
No, we've made plenty of mistakes.
Yeah, I know that's for sure, Drew.
What?
Did you see the quote the other day from Steve Kerr where he was apologizing to Steph Curry? Did you see that?
Now, Grant, I don't know why you're asking me if I saw that, because literally before we started the podcast, we went over kind of the things that we wanted to talk about, and that was one of the things we wanted to talk about.
Okay, so Drew, this is how media works. Is like let's say there's two hosts, right?
Right.
One asks a question as if you didn't prep it beforehand.
And no, but
the
see,
other
that's
one just
what
goes along with it.
That's what other people do, and I don't want to do that.
Oh my God, you're so annoying. All right, let's try again. Let's try this again.
Okay, try
Drew,
it again.
How funny was that? That Steve Kerr forgot to say Steph Curry's name and then felt so bad about it.
That I prefer the way that you introduced it there. That was much better.
Thanks.
Yeah, is funny the right word? When you and I were at the parade, and I did kind of notice that he didn't.
I 100% noticed.
Yeah, and a lot. Marcus Thompson, who is an awesome guy covering the Warriors.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Marcus Thompson. His book, The Rise of Steph Curry, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry.
Miraculous.
I have it. It's by my bed, and I read it before I go to sleep. Just kind of bits and pieces here and there. But anyway,
so you're saying right now, hot take, that Marcus Thompson's book puts you to sleep.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is that I get great joy out of reading it before I go to sleep, and it just puts me in a happy place, and then I'm able to fall asleep.
Much better.
So yes. So he got on the phone with Steve Kerr. From his San Diego home, Steve Kerr, and his quotes were awesome. I mean, Kerr basically just completely owned up to it and said, I'm an idiot, and that right when I sat down in my seat, my wife said to me, you forgot to mention Steph. And the funny thing is that So he finishes with KD talking about how he's just this sensational two-way basketball player and that he's really happy for him. And then Kerr's next line is, you know what? I actually changed my mind. I am going to go up and down the line and talk about everybody.
Right. Right.
But he had already done that for a bunch of guys, but he had forgotten some of the role players. I think his next guy he went to was Matt Barnes. He got into David West. And yes, Steve Kerr never really gave Steph the recognition that he deserves.
I know. And then everyone else who's on Twitter and everyone else in the world goes really deep into that and goes, oh, there must be a strained relationship between Kerr and Curry and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That's where, yeah.
And Thompson asked Kerr, he said, so, like, do you understand why Warriors fans may think that? And Kerr just straight up said, yeah, I don't blame him. I was an idiot. And he realized it when he sat back down and his wife told him. And Kerr said, what I should have done was go grab the mic again and give Steph the recognition that he deserves. And what was great about Kerr's comments was that he straight up said that Steph is the most important aspect of what we do. He yep. makes everything work with not just his play, but his selflessness and the joy that he plays with. And so it was great to see Kerr kind of make up for the mistake he made. But I got to admit, Grant, I've done that before.
Well, that is so funny you're going to say that, because I was going to say this was not scripted and I was going to call you out.
Yeah. Oh, for forgetting my grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. It was in the San Mateo County Hall of Fame speech.
Yes. And let's see here. Who was there? It was my immediate family, my wife, who at the time was just my girlfriend, my brother's wife, and my grandpa's there. And I thank, like, I go around the table and I'm thanking everybody at the table. And I just completely blanked and forgot to acknowledge my grandpa, who used to go to, like, all of my games, and he was very supportive and he was awesome. And I sat down, and I think it was my wife, Margo, who said, you forgot your grandpa. And my heart fell into my stomach. And after the banquet had ended, I went back up on stage, I got the microphone, and I said, everyone, I'm really sorry to do this, but I forgot to mention my grandpa, and I would not be able to live with myself if I didn't give my grandpa a shout-out.
That's good.
And everyone started to cheer, and it was fun, and it was great. But, yeah.
See, if you just had reporters follow up with you and put it, like, all over social media, your grandpa would have known that you forgot, but instead you had to run up and grab the mic because you don't have that type of presence.
I'm not Steve Kerr. I'm not Steph Curry. Yeah, breaking
news. Yeah, you don't need to tell us that. We all get that.
No, but and also, Grant, real quick, another reason why Warriors fans were kind of hot about this is because it came on the heels of Steve Kerr on that Low Post podcast saying that Kevin Durant is the second best player in the world.
Right. He looked like he was on a big Kevin Durant bandwagon and just forgot Steph Curry existed.
Exactly, exactly. But do not worry, Warriors fans. Steve Kerr is smart enough to know that Steph Curry is absolutely the main reason why the Warriors are in the position that they're in. And I know that you agree with that, and I agree with that as well.
Yep. Do I have to answer more than that?
No, you can just say yep.
Actually, yep. Okay, well, I did it. Yeah. How about, let's jump around the league super quick. There's been a lot of big moves, and I want to talk about how it affects the Warriors specifically. So we saw that the Sixers and the Celtics made moves.
How about that?
They switched the first pick and the third pick and more picks in the future coming back to the Celtics. So,
well, just one. It depends.
Right,
yeah.
A future pick.
Yeah.
So that doesn't affect the Warriors particularly just on the surface because they're both Eastern Conference teams, but it kind of starts changing the map of trades a little bit.
Definitely.
Because now Danny Ainge, the GM of the Celtics, has more pieces to move some pieces. And that's when you start looking around the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference and start wondering what players could be moved and who could be signed, right? Yep. One name that's been flying around that we've seen that affects the Warriors directly was on the Clippers. Blake Griffin's name as a free agent's been tossed around all these different places. And that's an interesting person that you and I have talked about how interesting it would be if Blake Griffin was on the Celtics.
Yes, and you and I are in agreement that the Celtics, more than anything, need a legitimate stud big man to pair with Al Horford. They need rim protection. And we saw it. We saw their lack of rim protection exposed against LeBron. They have a very deep backcourt. They have a lot of wings. But up front, outside of Al Horford, Kelly Olynyk is, you know, a good skilled player. But they just don't have any imposing players who can deter LeBron, who can deter a Kevin Durant from getting to the rim. And although the Celtics are clearly positioning themselves to make some big moves, and they're not just going to be players in potential trades, they are apparently, their number one target is apparently Gordon Hayward.
Right.
So, yeah, it'd be nice for them to add a player like Hayward, who is definitely a guy who can kind of take you up another notch.
Right. Sorry, I mean, but...
No, but they need something else, too.
Think like, about the names you're saying, though. These are big names from the Western Conference that would be going over to the East.
I think they shift the power a little bit.
Yeah, but I think a lot of these players also see that the conference that's definitely more vulnerable is the East, and this Warriors team is just... It's put a roadblock on a lot of teams' plans.
Yeah.
And I see, you know, you have to start wondering, is Gordon Hayward looking at the Western Conference and be like, if I stay with the Utah Jazz, what are the chances I make it to the finals in the next 5-6 years with this Warriors team?
Yes, which is his window. And I was actually engaging on Twitter a little bit with Tony Jones, who writes for the Salt Lake City Tribune. And personally, well, the Warriors played the Jazz, and so it'd be kind of fun, I think, if the Warriors got a chance to play the Jazz in the playoffs again next year. Like if George Hill and Gordon Hayward were to re-up, I think the Jazz legitimately have a shot to be one of the top two or three teams in the West next year. Now, obviously, we got to see how the rest of free agency plays out. But if they were to just kind of run it back with the same unit, they would be very, very good. Because they also battled a lot of injuries this year. But yeah, if I'm Gordon Hayward, do I think that going to the Celtics, who are clearly going to be able to upgrade the roster significantly, and this is already a team that was just in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think I probably have a better chance to get to the finals by going through LeBron than going through the Warriors. So he's got to make that decision, and it's going to be a tough one.
Here's the other thing. So you think about players like, first of all, Chris Paul. They've talked about even the Spurs, which I think would be a fantastic move for him and the Spurs. But again, Chris Paul wants to reach the finals too, and you start wondering, like, maybe it's time for him to move to the East.
He's not going to the East.
But here's the other rumor that I just don't understand. I think you and I disagree here. Do you really think LeBron actually has any intention of going to like the Clippers or a Western Conference team?
Yeah, I do, actually.
You think that he would actually go to the Western Conference and have to face the Warriors before even reaching the finals?
Well, when you put it like that, that's a very fair point.
Talk about a window closing.
Yeah, I just don't think LeBron finishes his career in Cleveland.
I agree with you. I just don't.
I just see him now. Clearly, the decisions that the Clippers make this summer are going to either give them a chance to be able to get LeBron in the summer of 18 when he can opt out. Or they're going to kind of lock themselves into a position where they might not be able to create the room to be able to do that. Although, if they were to re-up Blake Griffin this summer, they could trade him next summer. He would still have trade value if they needed to get LeBron. Yeah, I really do think that LeBron could come west. I don't think that he's married to staying in Cleveland. Clearly, he doesn't have a great relationship with Dan Gilbert. He came back to Cleveland to simply try to win a championship for the fans and his family in that region, and he accomplished that. Now, it's just really funny how we're trying to make projections on what's going to happen. This is going to be an insane summer.
It might be the craziest one in our lifetime.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. It seems like that's what we say leading into every single summer. And I mean, think about last year, dude. Kevin Durant joined the Warriors, and that just completely changed the landscape of the NBA, but this summer just feels like there are more pieces in play than there have ever been when it comes to potential trades, guys that are free agents. By the way, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, are they going to be on the Warriors next year?
Right. Yeah. Good question.
Oh, it's wild.
There's a lot of rumors that are saying that a lot of people think that even Sean Livingston will be back with the Warriors next year. And you and I were very pessimistic about that.
We were.
there's more and more people thinking that Livingston really could be back, which would be awesome.
Well, love to have him back. Yeah, Tim Kawakami, you know, over the weekend, or it was on Friday, kind of laid out the Warriors' financial situation and some of the stuff that he's been hearing. And, I mean, according to him, he thinks that it's very possible that Iguodala comes back at just $12 million a year.
You know, he was saying even $10 million. He said between 8 to 12, I think.
Yeah, and in that case, if they can get Livingston at 8,
right?
I mean, that then becomes something where, yes, you want Sean Livingston. Because this past year, he was only making, what, 5.7, I believe it was?
Right. Only.
Only 5.7.
Yeah. But, you know, I was saying on the Twitter world the other day, was that it just, if there's ever been a year that makes complete sense for the Warriors to buy into the draft again, it would be this year. Because you're asking for another second-round pick who's making bare minimum for two more years that fits perfectly into cap, and the money to buy into the draft doesn't count against the cap. So I could see them definitely trying to buy back into the draft this year, second round, especially with how successful they were with Patrick McCaw. You know, if they have some projects they like, you can see them going after them.
No doubt about it. You know, you get it, like you said, you get a cheap, locked in contract, and it can be more than 2 years. Pat McCaw was unique.
Correct.
Yes. He wanted, I think, the shorter contract, which is
right,
which is awesome because it shows how confident he is that he was, you know, kind of betting on himself. That
our boy Landry did the same.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. That's true. What was he, 38th or 39th?
He was 39th.
Pat McCaw was 37th. Yeah, Landry did that with the Knicks, and he got paid by the Raptors.
He did. So, you know, obviously that's another situation coming up is the McCaw one, and that's something not to, you know, I don't think the Warriors are even going to worry about that yet.
Not even thinking about it.
Not in the least. But I really do expect them to at least to make an effort to buy into the draft. You know, that doesn't mean that everything will fall into place. You know, we'll see.
I mean, certain owners may just say, no, screw you. We're not letting you buy this pick because it's going to end up making you guys really good. No.
Exactly. At some point, other owners are like, come on, don't help out the other team.
Well, I mean, they'll take $3 million if the Warriors are just going to send them a check. But they also should be saying to themselves, okay, wait a second. The Warriors want to buy this pick. They must be targeting someone. We should take that person.
Right. Exactly. That's a great point, too. But you know what I was thinking about the other day was, what did we project? It was projected that the Game 5 revenue for the Warriors brought in, what, $11 million or something?
Something ridiculous.
Right. You know, they showed, first of all, awesome move by the ownership group, footing the bill for the parade at $4 million. That's incredible.
Yeah, Connor Letourneau, San Francisco Chronicle, giving him the shout-out. He broke that dollar figure.
And not making the city of Oakland pay for it. But they pay for it $4 million right there. Let's say they bought, you know, $3 million into the draft. You know, you can see where the money's adding up to this extra $11 million they just earned.
Yeah, and if you're Andre Iguodala and you're Sean Livingston, you're sitting there saying, I'll take an extra couple mil.
Right, exactly.
Extra couple mil.
Well, it's going to be very interesting. And you know, you and I are going to be talking about a lot about the draft and free agency coming up.
Man, this week is going to be so much fun with the draft.
Oh, I'm so excited.
By the way, I haven't told you this yet, but you and I are watching it together on Thursday.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Because you're going to be around.
Yeah, I will be. So let's do that.
We're going to watch that in San Francisco together.
Okay, let's do that. Deal.
Yeah, because we're not going to come over to Pleasant Hill because it's like 130 degrees.
Yeah, if anyone who's listening knows what Pleasant Hill is, don't go over there or else it's a blazing inferno over there.
Why you got to hate on Pleasant Hill? It's a burgeoning society.
Virginia society.
It's a society over here.
Who are you?
I'm just a guy who's standing in his backyard right now watering his grass.
Are you really?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Technology, I'll tell you.
It's the best.
Anyway, thank you everyone for listening, and we're going to be back with you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And, you know, I think you can get the pattern on that one.
Yeah, the pattern is that we're going to record these bad boys at nighttime. Sunday night through Thursday night, and they're going to drop Monday through Friday, and we're going to have a blast. We're going to recap the day that was in the stratosphere that is the Warriors.
Correct. That is the stratosphere.
And then Grant, in between, you know, hopefully you people who are listening right now will follow us on Twitter. Grant's Twitter handle is @GLiffman. That's 2 F's and 2 N's at the end. Grant, go ahead and just spell it out.
So mine's GLIFF, both as in Frank, M as in Mary, A, and then two N's as in Nancy. And then you've got Drew Schiller, which is at Drew Schiller. There's no C in it. It's DREWSHILLER.
That is correct. And we want to engage with you. Ask us questions. And, right. you know, some of the questions that you guys send us on Twitter, we'll probably incorporate them into the podcast.
Also, one, I want to give a little shout out to anybody who's looking to do some ad spots or also know anybody in a local scene. We'd love to work with some local vendors or restaurants or anybody who's local in the Bay Area, perhaps. If you're looking to sponsor, ad, you know, promote yourself, please let us know. You can write to us at lockedonwarriors@gmail.com, and we can try to figure something out.
Perfect.
Awesome. All right.
Hey, you got a flight tomorrow. You got to get to bed, dude.
I need to get out of here. Okay. Everyone, have a nice day.
Perfect.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.